Thank you for tuning in and listening to Kumasan, a fantasy fiction story podcast. This style of podcast harkens back to old-fashioned radio dramas, blended with the rich storytelling of an audiobook. Kumasan is an ongoing weekly series, so it's recommended that you begin listening with episode 1 and continue from there. Kumasan depicts fictional violence and features mature language. Listener and parental discretion is advised. Corellia, a planet not at all dissimilar from your own. Its inhabitants not at all dissimilar from you, at least your ancient ancestors. The continent of Pojakar was the farthest north that one could go upon the planet of Corellia without being eaten by the ice god Wajalit, according to legends the sailors tell. A legend no man has ever dared to disprove. And it seemed that war, yet again, had come to northern Pojakar. The militaristic Kraltsaren, who hold the strip of land in Pojakar's center, are relentless in their efforts to slowly assert the land of the Pojkatil, their neighbors to the farthest north. And the Pojkatil, while a fearsome collective of wild, simple-minded barbarian tribes, would be more than content to live out their lives in peace, to hunt and make babies. Life up here in this frozen wasteland is harsh enough without the added pressure of systematically losing one's homeland, little by little, year after year. Once feeling encroached upon too much and for too long, the wild men take up their battle axes and push back. Generation after generation, thus renewing this unending cycle of war and death. There are many beginnings to our story, as you will eventually learn, but for now, let us begin it here, upon this current battlefield, in these wild woods of northernmost Pojakar. Now, look there. It is the Kraltsaren General Brakaton Hancor himself upon the field of battle. But this surprises no one. Brakaton, the most feared and most revered of all the 9 generals, could always be counted upon to be standing shoulder to shoulder with his men.
Pale wild bastards!
Brakaton was quite the warrior to behold. His myriad movements seemingly unencumbered by the 500 pounds of Kraltsaren iron that encased his gargantuan frame. Few knew what he actually looked like as he chose to wear the iron helm, flanked by 2 massive black iron wings all of his days. The 2 burning eyes inside the small eye slit in the helmet's center was the only indication that a man even lived inside of it. As his sheer heft and unimaginable strength brought his sword down upon the Pojkatil over and over again, he cleaved them in twain and filleted their nearly nude bodies as easily as a butcher slicing a ham, scattering volumes of blood and fragments of bone to the biting winter winds all around him.
Hark, Vandamus! Have you seen my son around here?
No, my lord general, I have not. I do not recall seeing Alvast upon the battlefield all day today.
Blast it. That goddamn boy. It will be my undoing if the fucking Boschkatil do not get me first.
Today marks us first upon the field of battle.
He was supposed to fight at my side. It was to be a most glorious day.
My apologies, my lord general. As I said, I do not know of it.
The battle raged on, and unbeknownst to either of them, Brakaton's son, Alvast Harnkor, was at that very moment slipping into the shadows of the forest at the battlefield's edge. Racked with fear beyond his control, he had decided to hide himself among the trees and allow the battle to play itself out. He planned to emerge afterwards to rejoin his ranks back at his army's campsite. As he knelt down behind a cluster of small trees, he could easily spot his father and Vandemest intermittently calling out to one another and mucking the ground below them with blood and gore. While his plan seemed sound enough, it seemed the gods and fate had other plans for the 18-year-old Alvast Harnkor this day. A single Boschkatil barbarian just happened to witness Alvast slipping into the forest, and Alvast could now see he was headed his way. Alvast tore through the forest at the speediest dash he could muster. He intermittently ran and hid, each time stopping and gauging whether the Boschkatil hunter was still giving chase. Unfortunately for him, his hunter remained steadfastly upon his tail. Alvast was so afraid. His entire body shook almost convulsively with it. He was fearful that he could potentially encounter yet another wild man. It was well known that these wild men often fought and moved in pairs, sometimes trios, and so another could be lurking behind every tree, ready to catch him off guard. But what he feared even more than that was somehow someone from his army would come to learn of his cowardice, and he would be severely punished. Worse, maybe they would report it to his father. He reckoned not getting caught by any of them was his only option now. He'd just run and run and run away, never to return. Turning and pressing on, he did just that. The chase dragged on for several hours, and as hard as it is to believe, the young warrior managed to not only elude his hunter, but outdistance him by quite a lengthy stretch. Yes, hard to believe, given that he, like his father, like every other male Kraltsar, was weighted down beyond measure by the Kraltsaren armor he wore, the pride of every Kraltsaren smithy, but the plight of every Kraltsaren soldier. Stopping for a brief moment to catch his breath, Alvast could hear a rustling in the tree directly above his head. Looking up, he saw it then. It was a Vakmala, one of a rare few snow owls imbued with the ability to speak and give wisdom to those in need.
You is Vakmala, yes?
I am indeed. Do not continue forward, Alvast Harnkor. Turn back. Whatever the outcome there, it is a far better fate for you than what lies ahead, I promise you.
Alvast held his position, eyeing the large bird, then the way forward.
I cannot go back. If that man does not kill me, my own father just might.
What is your plan?
To run forever?
I will find somewhere new to go. Far from fighting and war. Somewhere I can start my own family in quiet and peace. Maybe raise herds of Klesiast or be farmer. Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
I wish you good tidings, Alvast Herrenkor. I have spoken my wisdom to you, and now take my leave of you.
And with a sudden flapping of wings, the wise old owl sprang from its perch in the trees overhead and flew away into the forest. Within moments, an explosive, thunderous sound cracked the skies above him as a streak of fire lit up the daylight sky overhead. A massive boulder as big as a house emerged from the snowy white sky and was now racing at an unbelievable speed to the snow-capped Pojakarian ground below. He watched intently for the brief few seconds it took the gigantic object to plummet and land with a thundering thud in the snow just a mere 50 yards from where he stood. The entire ground shook violently like an earthquake, and Alvast could feel the residual tremors it left in its wake travel from the ground and proceed all the way up into his thighs, sending the armor he wore into a vibrating fit. He moved toward it cautiously, glancing all around the scene for anyone or anything that may have witnessed it too. The area seemingly clear as he continued to step toward it with an ever-growing confidence and quickening of pace. Stepping slowly up to it, it took only half the distance to realize that while it was a dark, blackish-gray in outward coloration, the intense blue light glowing from within its interior was impossible to miss. The light was like that of a beacon in a lighthouse, like magnificent embers glowing inside a bonfire, but with 20 times the intensity. He felt an attraction to the object that he could not understand. He was now compelled toward it like a moth to a flame. His steps, his decisions, his will were no longer his own anymore. That light. The more deeply he gazed, the closer he stepped. That light. The young soldier never realized the change coming over him. His head pitched violently to one side, then snapped skyward, then back to the glowing rock again. Unholy sounds issued from his mouth as he gazed on. He wasn't cognizant of the fact that as he drank in the comet's glowing light with his eyes, that the light was slowly diminishing from the mass of stone. He himself was rendering it inert, as it transferred its vile, contemptuous, evil energy into the very core of Alvast's own soul. His body vibrated as if he were being struck by lightning. His vision began tunneling, and his conscious mind receded back as if in a dream. His eyes began to turn from their normal state,
to squid ink black, then to a fiery glowing blue. His innards now drenched in the purest hate and evil, his heart now an unfeeling black shard. A wicked smile spread over his face as he heard the faint approaching footsteps of his hunter, the Pojkatil barbarian. Alvast Harnkur, as he was previously known to the rest of the world, was no longer. That young man was now something else entirely.
Ha ha! I know you're around here somewhere, boy. I can smell you. Ah, there you are. Oh, finally, boy. Your balls come in, huh? You decide to face me now?
Yes. I am ready for you now, for sure. Step to me, little wild man. Yes, that's it. Closer. Come ahead.
Sensing something was off with the situation, the Pojkatil approached the ironed lad with great caution. And it was then that he saw Alvast's glowing blue eyes. It was at that moment that the eyes of the Pojkatil man went black, then also began to glow with the same blue light that now shone forth in Alvast's eyes. He was now under Alvast's spell, sharing a fractional percentage of the evil energy transferred to his new master from the dead gray rock beside them. The Pojkatil man plunged to his knees, looking upwards toward Alvast with an expression upon his face like that of a diminutive child gazing up to its father.
I am willing to do your bidding, O Great One. Command me to do your will, and I shall do it.
Indeed. I command you to take my blade and run it through your heart. Do these for me and show me your fealty.
But, my lord, could be of myriad value to you. You have my unyielding fealty now.
Do I, though? I believe I gave you an order.
The Pojkatil man let his chin drop to his chest in a show of bleak disappointment, but then quickly lifted it again, head held high for his master to see his strength and eagerness to please.
As you wish, my lord.
Alvast walked away and down the hill, whistling the battle hymn of his people. He failed to notice the Vakmala above him, once more perched high overhead. The massive snow owl tucked its head behind its wing and shuddered in pain. It knew that the prophecy of the elders had literally just begun under his own gaze, under his own watch. It took flight once more, this time headed far from its home in Pojakar, toward the great continent of Quindror. Times were imminent now, and drastic measures were now necessary.
You've been listening to Kuma-san, Season 1, Blackwing, Episode 1, Evil in the Sky. Kuma-san is created, written, and produced by David Paul Seymour. The merry band of players for tonight's episode includes Jason Robbins as Breakaton Harncore, Vandamest and the Pojkatil Barbarian, Tucker Thomason as the Vok'Mala, and David Paul Seymour as Alvas Harncore and the narrator. Opening and closing theme music written and performed by Tucker Thomason. Hey friends, there's two free and easy ways to show your support for the show if you like it. Follow the show on Instagram at Kuma-san Podcast. And second, just share it with a few friends. If you really, really like the show and want to show your support, consider becoming a monthly subscriber to the show's Patreon account. For as little as $2 a month, you can help the show go and grow and earn some nifty rewards in the process. Find us on Patreon at patreon.com/KumaSan Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you back here next week.